Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com. Looking forward to a massive game, well, two massive games really, next week and the week after against Wolfsburg of the Frauen Bundesliga, obviously two times Champions League winners, three times finalists as well. Huge tie, and obviously the first leg next week on Wednesday will be played at Emirates Stadium. Then Arsenal have the small matter of a North London derby at Emirates Stadium again on Saturday. And then the following Thursday, Arsenal will go to Germany to play the quarterfinal second leg against Wolfsburg. So an enormous week and a bit ahead for the club. This is going to go out on the day that Arsenal play Coventry United in the FA Cup. But with all due respect to Coventry United, we're not going to talk about that, not least because it will date the podcast very, very quickly. But we are going to look ahead to that massive Champions League quarterfinal tie with Wolfsburg. And there is absolutely nobody better to talk about Wolfsburg with than my guest for this podcast. She is the German women's football researcher, head researcher for Football Manager, and also writes about Wolfsburg and the Frauen Bundesliga for Sport Buzzer, Jasmina Schweimler. Jasmina, welcome to the show.
Tim, I feel like we've been waiting for this for quite some time.
It's true. Yeah, it's been a long, long time since Arsenal have played Wolfsburg. I do remember the last time because I remember watching, I think it was the second leg, and like Jordan Nobbs and Kim Little were still quite young, but they were playing against Nadine Kessler in midfield. And I was watching Nadine Kessler and I was thinking, Jesus, I thought, like, I was just used to watching Jordan and Kim dominate every midfield. And then Nadine was playing and I thought, oh, wow, this is
good old times.
This is a whole other level. And obviously Nadine doing a very big, important job for UEFA now. But yeah, it's quite, how did you, before we kind of talk about the specifics of this tie, how did you feel when the draw was made in December to be drawing Arsenal from a Wolfsburg perspective?
Honestly, I was like, English team again? That was my only reaction. But then again, you know, I know you've been rooting for this draw for quite some time already. So I was happy because we finally get to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It like you say, it feels like it's been a long time. We've been speaking for a long time, you know, about matters Wolfsburg and Arsenal, usually around transfers, it must be said. And actually, that's where I'm going to start, I think, because there has been quite an exchange of players between these clubs over the last couple of years. Obviously, Arsenal have got Noel Maritz playing right back and playing very well at the moment. But Wolfsburg have actually got three former Arsenal players. Not many people remember that Turid Nak had a very short loan spell with Arsenal in 2014. But obviously there are two players who had a higher profile at Arsenal. And the first one I'm going to ask about is Gilles Raud, who moved to Wolfsburg last summer from Arsenal. How has she done in her first season at Wolfsburg?
Oh, she adapted just fine. She's actually one of the top scorers with 12 goals in, like, how many games? 25. So I think that really speaks language. She has a lot of freedom in the game and on the pitch, and I think she can really, like, take advantage of that. She's been great, and she's also very nice to talk to because she's, like, very honest, very, very open, you know, has a good overview of the game in general. So she's been great.
Yeah, I think it never quite clicked at Arsenal for Jill. I think at a time when Arsenal had Jordan Nobbs and Daniel van der Donk and Kim Little, it felt a little bit awkward. And I know she was also, you know, she particularly during the pandemic missed her family, and obviously Wolfsburg is much closer to the border of Netherlands near where she's from. And obviously she's playing under a manager she knows very well in Tommy Stroot, who managed her at Heerenveen. So that always struck me as quite a good move for her. Has she been playing, because she started her career as a striker, actually, and she played there a couple of times for Arsenal. I know she's generally more of a 10 and Netherlands sometimes play her out wide. What kind of role has she had at Wolfsburg this season?
Oh, she's pretty much all over the place. Like, you can never really tell. I mean, she played as a striker against Chelsea. I think it was more a surprise for many. And in like the league games, she switches between like defensive midfield and then on the 10. Like I said, she has a lot of freedom. Like, she's everywhere on the field, and that's what makes her so dangerous and unpredictable. And I just really like that.
Yeah, I'm glad to see her doing well, because I think she's a really good player. It's just I don't think Arsenal was quite the right fit for her. But someone who did do very well at Arsenal before moving to Wolfsburg nearly 3 years ago now is Dominic Janssen, and she is called Dominic Janssen again because she swapped from Janssen to Bloodworth and then back to Janssen quite recently. Now, I know I saw that she signed a new deal recently. I believe she's the captain. How has Dominic Janssen done in the last 3 years, and how important has she become for this Wolfsburg team?
Oh, where do I start? I'm such a big fan of Dominique, not just as a player, but also because she's an incredible person. I got to interview just a couple weeks ago, and she kind of gave me an insight into her mind and how she like always keeps everything positive around her. And that was amazing to hear, because it really like influences her performances on the field. And she told me that the fact her contract was running out and she talked to other clubs was really, you know, doing a thing on her. Like, it influenced her. It was in the back of her mind. But the way she grew in Wolfsburg is amazing. She's a key player. She is kind of in the role that Nilla Fischer had in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the leader of the back line, pretty much. She's like very outspoken now. She's like very stable in defense. She can do pretty much everything. You know, she scored 8 goals already for a central defender. That's just incredible. And it's like, she always strives to be better every day. And you can just really tell how she like, you know, it's amazing. Because like last year I said that, you know, maybe she needs to be a bit more outspoken and like grow more into that leader role. But now she's like totally in it. It's amazing to see. She's probably already one of the best defenders in the world.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because when she was at Arsenal, she was playing, she swapped between that defensive midfield position and sometimes playing at centre-back. And I always had the impression she preferred playing in midfield. And then she kind of left after Arsenal signed Lea Valti, and I really expected that what was behind that move was that she was going to go and play in midfield at Wolfsburg, because that role had been filled at Arsenal. So I was actually quite surprised to see her play at centre half. Is that where she's played pretty much exclusively?
She played in defensive midfield like one or two times when they had like the option to push her a little forward and give someone else playing time in the back line, but she's definitely seen as central defender, and she's doing just fine. Like, she's amazing at it.
Yeah, and of course she starts there for Netherlands as well. And I mean, I guess like a wider question now about Wolfsburg, because again, looking at it from the outside, last season looked like a real season of kind of upheaval, losing Pernille Harder to Chelsea, having the last, last season under a manager, and the new manager, Tommy Stroot, already being announced like well before coming into the role. And then, of course, you know, the likes of Ingrid Engen and Fridolina Rolfo leaving at the end of last season. It looked like a real kind of year of upheaval for Wolfsburg, and obviously then Bayern win the league. And from the outside, looking at that, and I couldn't help thinking, oh, are Wolfsburg still going to be a force here like they have been for so long? But, I mean, again, from the outside, the results look better this season. Do you get the sense that, how's it gone for Wolfsburg this season, the first season under Tommy Stroot?
It was quite unpredictable heading into the season, because you didn't know, you know, where the team stands. And obviously getting a new head coach after so many years, it's new trust that needs to be built. And then you lose key players like Olfu, like Engen, Jakob V. Gösling, who ended their careers. that takes time. I mean, that's at least what everybody thought. But the first round of the Bundesliga was kind of filled with up and downs, you know, not as dominant as they used to be. But now, after this Chelsea game, and especially winning against Bayern in the league, that like really boosted their confidence, and it kind of showed them what's possible, and they have been better and more dominant and more confident ever since. So, you know, I think they're way ahead of where they thought they would be, because when the season started, we had a media call with Ralf Kellermann, the sporting director, and he said, you know, maybe we shouldn't expect titles this season, like give the team time. It's also a much younger team. There's many, many talents in this roster now that are like 20, 21. So you can't expect much, but they're way ahead of their plan, I would say. And you know, the fact they're still in every competition possible, it's great for them.
Yeah, and that's interesting as well, because that sounds quite similar to Arsenal in terms of Arsenal had a difficult season last season under a coach who then announced he was going before, not quite as early as Wolfsburg announced it, but, you know, before the end of the season, and it felt like Arsenal's kind of cycle was done a little bit, and they brought in a new coach with lots of new ideas and similar, really. Arsenal are probably ahead of where I expected them to be, certainly in the league. And you know, the title races in Germany and England look quite similar, actually at the moment, but we'll come on to that later. I guess for the lay people, who are preparing to watch this tie, Arsenal fans, and they'll probably know the name of Wolfsburg and they'll know the history of Wolfsburg, both in this competition and domestically, but what type of football would you say that Wolfsburg play, and what do you think Arsenal can expect in terms of the type of team that they're playing? And maybe just talk about some of the main players.
They really like making possession look good. That's what Tommy Stroh, the head coach, always tells us. Like, that's what he took from the Netherlands, where like having possession is really important and making it look good at the same time. So that's kind of the philosophy they have. But then again, it's also a lot about pace for them and like overcoming that defense line, so you can put players like Tabea Wasmuth up front or Sveinus Jonstadottir, who have an amazing pace. But that's also where the danger lies, because you have them on the wings and also someone like Svenja Hood, who's maybe not as tall, and that's just what makes her so unpredictable. She can move between the spaces. She has a good overview of the game, finds her teammates. So that's it would probably be unpredictable for Arsenal, because there's so many players I could name that are like really dangerous and can have an impact on the game.
And like one of the players, again, whose name I think a lot of Arsenal fans will know is Alexandra Popp, who I believe has come back from a long-term injury. First of all, what was her injury? And has she come straight back into the team, or will she play, do you think, a reduced role until the end of the season?
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, cartilage damage, or what, how do you say
cartilage,
it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she had on her knee. A very serious injury, like an injury where you kind of question yourself, will I ever come back? And she faced the same question, but she fought back. It's been 9 long months. She actually returned in January in a friendly, and then her knee got swollen again, so she had to undergo surgery again. But she's back now. She's pain-free. She's back in the team, getting her minutes. So she's one to look out for. What I noticed recently, though, and what I asked her about is she plays a lot more defensively now. Like, she's not pushing forward as much. I don't know if that's where they want to keep her. I mean, obviously, she's in defensive midfield next to Lena Latwein or Lena Oberdorf, and I think that's great because she's, you know, a very physical player who can stop pretty much everyone from entering that defense line of Wolfsburg. But that's going to be interesting to see, because I think that kind of robs her of her qualities, because she's obviously a player you feed with crosses up front, and she's someone who can use her body very well, shoot from distance. So I'm excited to see how they use her the next few games.
Yeah, and I guess like coming back to more of an overall, I guess, existential kind of question, but for so many years in women's football, in European football, in the Champions League, there's been such a distinct hierarchy in terms of it's Lyon miles ahead of everyone, And then like Wolfsburg were like the second team who were miles ahead of everyone else effectively. So you had that kind of, and you know, Wolfsburg have very much sick of the sight of Lyon in this competition because they've very directly stopped Wolfsburg winning more than two Champions League titles. But that's been shaken up a little bit now. And it, now it looks like Barcelona are in that Lyon position and just ahead of everyone. Where do you assess Wolfsburg's level, like in European terms?
Still one of the best, and there's no way you can deny that. I mean, they won the Champions League twice, but they've also been in the final five times. So there is some prestige they have, and I think the fact so many people underestimated them against Chelsea, and then they got this result, this very clear result, speaks volumes.
Definitely. And I think kind of going into this tie, like it's very difficult to judge. I mean, I think Arsenal and Wolfsburg are probably on similar levels, but I think Wolfsburg, you know, Arsenal aren't experienced in the Champions League. That's the thing I think that maybe makes Wolfsburg slight favourites for this game. That Arsenal weren't in the Champions League last year. You know, they've not been in it a lot in the last few years, and a lot of Arsenal's players don't quite have that experience. So, like, I think that might be a bit of a kind of, I guess, a decider in the tie. Well, potentially a decider anyway. How do you see the tie going overall?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think the season has proven that Wolfsburg performed best when, like, there's really something to play for. I don't mean any disrespect, but like, even if you like consider the fact that they've won the German Cup seven times in a row, they have very much experience in this, like, when it matters and knockout stage type of game. So I think it's going to be very even in terms of performances, because I think the qualities at Arsenal are also very similar, as you said already. But honestly, I cannot predict, because I think it's too even. Like, I watched a couple of Arsenal games this season, and the thing is, in the league, there's not many teams that can probably challenge Wolfsburg like Arsenal can in terms of qualities and the roster, like having so many international stars. That's not possible in the league. So that's something where Arsenal have a big advantage, and that's always going to be a challenge for Wolfsburg.
Yeah. I spoke to Jonas on Sunday, and actually someone else asked it, like, Arsenal beat Brighton 3-0 on Sunday and they missed a few chances. And he was asked about that, and he said, we've got, you know, Wolfsburg aren't going to give us 15 shots on goal. And, you know, he spoke about the fact that it's going to be very tight. It's going to be decided on very tight margins. And he was saying, like, look, no one misses on purpose, but if we get a chance against Wolfsburg, we're going to have to take it, because otherwise they'll punish you. So I kind of agree. I think this is going to be a game of really fine margins. I honestly think that Wolfsburg's experience and the fact that the second leg is at home for Wolfsburg does make them slight favourites. But what do you think, because obviously we're in a situation where both legs are being played in, you know, the team's main stadium. So first leg at Emirates Stadium, where Arsenal women have played a few times this season now, so it's not completely alien to them, but it's still not Meadow Park. And likewise, the second leg is going to be at is it called the Volkswagen Arena?
Yeah.
So it's going to be played there. So essentially, neither team is really playing at home in the sense that they know it. First of all, do you see that having any impact? And I wonder how much experience Wolfsburg have of playing in that stadium.
Don't quote me on that, but I think they played in that stadium like twice. Once,
yeah,
in the Champions League premiere against Arsenal. I was actually there as a fan. I remember that. And then against Turbine Potsdam once in the Champions League, but that was also 2014, I believe. So it's been quite a while. But then again, I don't complain much about that, because they got their own stadium built, like right next to the big stadium. Mm-hmm. But this opportunity and the fact that they can play in this big stadium, like, that's the fact that the club does that for them. It's going to push them a lot. And they do a lot of advertising. They sell tickets for only $5, which basically makes it available for everyone. So I'm hoping for a big crowd, and it's going to just push them forward. And I think, you know, you have so many international players at Wolfsburg who played in these big arenas already. Like, I asked Dominique Janssen about it, and she was like, oh, I played with the national team in big stadiums already. Like, yeah. I know the feeling, and I know that it can push you. So I think that's a big advantage for them, that they have the home game in the second leg.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you referenced earlier, you know, playing another English team. And that, of course, because Wolfsburg have met Chelsea a few times recently. And I just wanted to ask you about, well, first of all, about that Chelsea game last season in the quarterfinal, because I came away from that feeling like I thought that was a really weird tie, in that Chelsea ended up winning the tie quite easily. But maybe it's my bias here, but I really didn't feel like they deserved to. I felt like it was a really even tie, but the scoreline didn't quite turn out that way. Is that how you felt? And what was the kind of, I guess, the fallout of going out to Chelsea in the quarterfinal last year?
I think they didn't know how they lost that, because, you know, they had chances, but just didn't make use of them. And when you go against a player like Sam Kerr, obviously, like you said already, one mistake and you get a goal. So I think it was also kind of a wake-up call to really, like, show everyone, not just Wolfsburg, also like maybe German media, German women's football in general, how big the competition internationally has grown. And I think that was the biggest takeaway.
You know, as someone who really, really didn't want Chelsea to win the Champions League, which thankfully they didn't in the end, because we're fond of reminding our listeners that only one English team has won the competition. And it's Arsenal, and we want to keep it that way. But obviously this year, you know, Wolfsburg had a really tough group with Juventus and Chelsea. And as much as a lot of Arsenal fans experienced that Wolfsburg-Chelsea tie last year in the quarterfinal, and I think commiserated with you, a lot of us quite enjoyed the time you played Chelsea in December, which we can kind of go into in a minute. But you know, how did you see Wolfsburg's overall performance in the group stage? Because I have to say, as a neutral, there were some absolutely cracking games in there.
Yeah, 100%. That group stage changed a lot. But I also think that's why the results were so mixed most of the time, because, like, when we didn't have the group stage, you had, like, the games in the Champions League where, like, won the first leg ended, like, 12-0 maybe, and the second leg didn't matter, so you could rotate a lot. That's not possible anymore. You have to be at your best, and then you have the league, the cup, the Champions League group stage. That really took a toll on them. Like, they were exhausted at some point, perhaps. So that's probably why some of the results were mixed. But then again, like I said, they performed best when it mattered and made it through in the end, even though I think when I got asked to predict who will make it through, I said Chelsea first, Wolfsburg second. Then again, it was also, again, just showing me how much the competition has grown, because I didn't expect Juventus to do so well, but they were amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That was my takeaway from the group, because I watched most of the games in that group, because they were usually on different nights to the nights that Arsenal played. I kind of thought you get the sense that Juventus and Italy in general is just a, you know, women's football is really beginning to develop there, and those teams can compete a fair bit. And, well, switching it, I guess, a little bit tangentially to Arsenal's group stage, we had Hoffenheim in our group, and we had, you know, one of our best performances of the season in the home game and probably our worst performance of the season in the away game. But one of the players that really caught the eye of Arsenal fans was, and I'm really aware that I always get her name confused, because there is a men's player called Julian Brandt. And so I keep calling her Julie Brandt, but it's Julie Brand, right? Julie Brand from Hoffenheim, who has signed for Wolfsburg next season. I mean, that sounds like a really exciting signing. And do you think that's really the type of signing that Wolfsburg are, I guess, are aiming for, that kind of really, like, the best emerging talent in Germany?
Yeah, 100%. And I felt for a long time that she was not going to stay in Germany. So that really took me by surprise that they got someone like Jule Brandt. But it also shows that the project that's happening in Wolfsburg by growing this very young team into like a Champions League contender again, perhaps, you know, other players notice it. I mean, it's not just Jule Brandt. It's also Merle Froms coming back, Germany's number one. That just tells you how attractive Wolfsburg still is and the standing they have.
Yeah, definitely. And is that, do you think, because obviously, you know, Barcelona are the best team in Europe at the moment. The WSL teams are getting a lot more revenue in. Do you think that will be the project for teams, I guess, like Wolfsburg and Bayern as well, to try and be like, you know, the preferred employer for German players?
Not necessarily. No, I don't think that's the plan at all. Like, if there's a talent they can sign, it doesn't really matter where they come from. But obviously, as a German team, they love having German players.
Yeah, speaking of the domestic league, title race in Germany this year, very, very tight. I believe Wolfsburg, they 1 point ahead now of Bayern at the top of the Bundesliga. I can't remember whether they've played their game in hand or not.
Yeah, yesterday they won against SC Sand.
Yes, yeah. So they're 1 point clear and they play Bayern at home in April. How do you see that title race? Are you confident that Wolfsburg can see it over the line?
It's hard to predict, really, because now this weekend they play Hoffenheim, then they have the first leg against Arsenal, then they play Frankfurt, and then they play Arsenal again. So it's like very deciding weeks ahead of this Bayern Munich game. And Bayern play Frankfurt today. Yeah, when this podcast releases, it's today. Yeah, so there's still like so much to play for. Like Hoffenheim and Frankfurt and Potsdam are still contenders for the third place, which also qualifies for the Champions League. But even like the distance between second place and third place, it's not impossible to switch that. So they're still all to play for, but I think in the end, it's still going to decide between Bayern and Wolfsburg, because they have the experience and they obviously have the roster to kind of compensate all the games they play.
Yeah. And obviously Bayern are in the Champions League quarterfinals as well. So they've got big games as well, all around there. I wondered as well, I guess, again, a more general like overview question. Again, looking at it from the outside, when Bayern won the league last year, as someone who only like is a casual observer of the German league, I did wonder if it was going to be similar to, you know, a few years ago when Bayern, led by Vivian Miedema, won the title a couple of years in a row. And maybe a few of us were thinking, okay, that's Wolfsburg, maybe not the force they were. And then, of course, Wolfsburg came back and won several league titles in a row. Did this feel similar to you at all in terms of Bayern winning it? Did you feel like, was there any anxiety about Wolfsburg perhaps losing their kind of perch at the top? Or was it considered, no, this is probably just like a short blip?
This was a long time coming. Like, Bayern always had this roster that was capable of winning championships. They just didn't win the games when it mattered, against Wolfsburg, for example. But like, that year, it was different. Obviously, Wolfsburg losing Pernil Harder hurt them a lot because it was so last minute. Mm. And then they had Eva Payor out for a while. So that had a big impact on them. But yeah, Bayern still have a very strong team. They have Clara Bühl, Lina Magul, Lea Schüller. That's world-class players. And they need to have the ambition to win the Bundesliga. There's like no denying it. Like, don't play the underdog. You have a team capable of winning this Bundesliga every single season. It's just about the consistency for them. That's been lacking in the past. And that's what they need in future. Also, that experience on the international stage, like, make it further, get that experience in, and then that consistency will come.
Yeah, I have to say, I look at the Frauen-Bundesliga and I always think of, like, Wolfsburg remind me of Chelsea and Bayern remind me of Arsenal, in that Arsenal have always got the squad to compete, but they've struggled on that consistency basis, on that kind of being regularly in the Champions League basis. And Wolfsburg and Chelsea both have this kind of, we've been there and done it, and we just know how to win when it matters. And in the English title race, I do still think that gives Chelsea a bit of an advantage over Arsenal. But Arsenal, I think, are a kind of growing team at the moment. Just a final question then. Just looking at the Champions League overall, obviously there are some really, really good quarterfinal ties, and I really like this, you know, going straight into a quarterfinal. And I think you've got 8 really good teams left, essentially. But I think the kind of question mark against the Champions League this year is, realistically, can anyone other than Barcelona win it? Do you think there is any, or what percentage chance would you give anyone other than Barcelona winning the Champions League this year?
I mean, considering they would have Wolfsburg up next if they win.
We'll see.
Yeah, but Barcelona are the best team in the world, and there's no stopping them right now. I don't see any team that could potentially like kill that pressure that Barcelona are like able to give you when you play against them. There's no way. Barcelona are the new Lyon, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to stop in a few years. That's only going to get stronger and yeah, kind of scary. But then again, it also motivates other teams to keep investing and keep pushing and keep growing. So the fact that Barcelona are up there is totally deserved, because they did something. They invested and they're dedicated to it. And I just love seeing that. And I love watching this team play. It's magic.
Yeah, and of course, this will be the final question, but they signed a couple of players from Wolfsburg, obviously, last summer, who it looks to me like very, very contrasting fortunes. Like Fridolina Rolfo has just been brilliant by the looks of it, but Ingrid Engen, not as much. And I wondered whether, like, what view you take on both of those players at Barca. I mean, I guess more Ingrid Engen, because she was so sought after by so many clubs, and I know Arsenal were kind of one of those clubs that were a bit interested but weren't really in the running for it. But I mean, you look at a player like Ingrid Engen who was so good for Wolfsburg, is it kind of disappointing to see her not having much of an impact at Barca?
I just think it needs time. Like, it's very hard to get into this Barca team, and then coaches don't usually like breaking up a team that works, if you like get what I mean. So I think that's kind of what she has to deal with, but she will do just fine. She's still very young. She got a lot of experience in Wolfsburg. She's done well here. She's proven to be one of the best. Just needs more time. And with Frido, I'm just so happy to see her strive. Like, I always knew that she can be one of the best, but she had so much injury bad luck in Wolfsburg that always like kept her back. She returned, you know, played a few games. Then something happened again, and it was just like an evil circle almost. So she never really got going, which was unfortunate, but top player, obviously, as everybody is seeing now. Because when they signed Frido, everybody was like, why would they sign her? Like, she didn't do much at Wolfsburg. She didn't play much. She, like, her scoring points don't look as good. And I was like, just wait. If Frido is fit and healthy, she can be one of the best in the world, and that's what she's proving, not just at Barca, but also for the national team, Sweden.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say that at Arsenal, definitely a hole we have in the squad. We don't really have a backup kind of deep-lying midfielder. So if it continues not to work for Ingrid Engen at Barcelona, there is definitely a home for her in North London. But we will see exactly how that works out. Yasmina, thanks so much for your time and for your insight. It's been an absolute pleasure to finally have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure as always. We will be back after the break with some quick fire questions for Caitlin Ford, Steph Catley and Lydia Williams, who I met with at Emirates Stadium a couple of weeks ago, and I asked them some really stupid questions, so stick around for that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
I'm going to ask all three of you first, then, if I start with Caitlin, because you're here first. Your favourite ever men's football player when you were growing up?
Ronaldo, but the Brazilian, Brazilian. Ronaldo.
Good answer. Steph, what about you?
It's a tough question. My first ever football shirt was a David Beckham football shirt.
Fair.
So I loved watching him, but I also loved Ronaldo, the OG Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Lydia. I guess mine's Schmeichel.
Okay.
Just watching a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It's probably
the
one thing that I was like, oh, cool. Sounds like.
Okay, so I'll come back around this way. Your favourite ever women's footballer when you were growing up?
God, when I was growing up, I mean, probably like my teammates, which I was in the team quite young in Australia. So I mean, Cheryl Salisbury and like Di Alagic, and those were my kind of first memory of like a female
football player.
So
Steph?
Yeah, it's tough because we didn't have the exposure when we were growing up to female footballers, so the only Matilda I knew was Melissa Barbieri, because I grew up in Victoria and she was in Victoria, so she was kind of my...
She's a goalkeeper.
She was the captain of the Matildas at the time, so she was who I looked to as an inspiration in terms of where I wanted to be in my football, playing for Matildas. So.
She's still playing, isn't she?
Yeah, still kicking on.
Yeah. Caitlin, what about you?
Yeah, I have to agree with Steph. There wasn't really... You didn't see too many female footballers growing up, so I think for me it wasn't until I was at that level as well, and my first World Cup we played Brazil, and obviously Marta at the time was the best in the world. So I think that was my first wow moment in women's football.
Yeah, a lot of Brazilian players, fair. Question. A question for all three of you. What do you miss most about home and you can't say the weather?
Oh, my dog. Yeah.
The beach. Dog, coffee, family. Weather.
Fair. And another question for all three of you. Caitlin, when did you know you wanted to be a footballer?
I think pretty early on I had to choose between football and touch football. They were my two last sports, and at that time I'd already travelled with the under-17s to Malaysia, and I think I had the taste of what international football was and what the game could, you know, do for me, and I think that was the moment I knew that this is what I want to do for as long as I can.
Slightly different question for you, Steph. You can. I'm giving you the power to turn one of your Arsenal teammates Australian to play for the Matildas.
Oh, wow.
Who are you picking?
Oh, wow. I'm going to pick Kim Little. I think she's just got everything. And there's no one like her in world football. I would love to have her play for
it. Yeah, know, yeah. Because, mm-hmm. like, when you've already got Sam, like...
Right.
You could say Viv, but you've already got Sam.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, thinking about positions and things like that.
Exactly.
Lydia, who's been your biggest inspiration during your career?
Oh, my parents. And then just the support they gave to me and kind of... They allowed me to make my own decisions and kind of just help guide me. So, yeah, definitely it was my family.
And another question for you, Lydia. Which Australian food or snack is not popular in the UK but should be?
Vegemite.
Vegemite. Steph?
I mean, I feel like Tim Tams aren't really a thing here. Someone was saying to me today, penguins or something are the same.
Meant to be similar.
But, or similar, not the same. But I feel like if you give someone from the UK a Tim Tam, they fall in love with it. So it's kind of wild that they're not more popular here.
Yeah, I used to work near, there was like an Australian South African shop, like somewhere near Covent Garden, where they had like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Caitlin, what about you?
I don't know if you can get it here, but Milo. Mm-hmm. Do you know Milo?
No, I've never heard of that.
It's what like a, comes in a tin and you add it to milk and it makes it like chocolate milk.
It's not quite chocolate, it's like malt.
But you can
add
it hot or cold.
Okay.
Yeah, or an ice cream, to be fair.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. Steph, what's your favourite goal that you've ever scored in your career?
Probably the free kick, to be fair, that I scored this year. I think that's probably my best goal. I don't score a lot, so... That one was a nice one.
Free kick was nice.
Yeah.
And Lydia, is there a save in your career that you really think of as like your best save or your most important?
I mean, probably at the 2015 World Cup, I think there was a shot from Formiga when we played Brazil. And then, yeah, we end up winning that match, which I think was pretty...
Brazil.
Caitlin, you can only win one in your career, the World Cup or an Olympic gold. Which one would you pick?
It's tough, but I think the World Cup. Yeah. I think a gold medal would mean more in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But I think for us to be the best in the world. It's not every nation's at the Olympics, so
yeah.
The World Cup.
And I guess in 2023 on home soil as well would be.
Yeah, ideal.
Steph, you can only win one this season, either the WSL or the Champions League. Which one would you pick?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so tough.
I feel like Champions League? I don't know, it's tough. I don't want to answer that question.
Caitlin or Lydia, do you want to answer that question?
Can you answer that question?
I think if you win Champions League, you would most likely win the league, so...
Fair enough, yeah. Win the Champions League and just, like, see if the WSL takes care of itself.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I'd pick as a fan, to be honest, but I've seen Arsenal do both, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Lydia, your go-to meal on your cheat day?
Honestly, probably brunch somewhere. So, if it's an off day, then...
Is that a cheat?
I don't know.
Brunch. To get pancakes or something.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, a full breakfast of, like, bacon, eggs, avo, like,
halloumi. I'll still get that, like...
cheat day.
Have you had a full English yet?
Yeah, I'm
quite overrated, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like,
is that with that black?
Yeah, the black pudding or something.
Black pudding. Yeah. That's like optional.
Yeah, no, yeah, that should be optional. I think, just Aussie breakfasts are just top tier.
What about you, Steph? Your go-to meal on cheat day?
Mine would involve a chicken schnitzel of some sort. I would say a chicken schnitty roll with cheese, mayo,
the lettuce.
The lot. That's my go-to.
Caitlin, what about you?
I think it depends where I am. If I'm at home, I like, there's a burger place called Grilled, which I would always get that over there. But while I've been here, it's the day after a game. There's a cafe called Granger & Co. and they do the best pancakes.
Nice. And I'll ask you all a music question now. Caitlin, karaoke, which is your go-to song?
Can't Fight the Moonlight.
Is that Leanne Rimes?
I used to sing on Singing Star, so I just know all the words.
Oh my gosh.
Are you shocked that I just had that?
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah, my Singing Star go-to song, so I guess it would be karaoke.
Steph, what about you, karaoke? Which song are you going for?
That just triggered my memory. I used to sing on karaoke, that Sing Star. I used to sing the Superstar by Jamila or something. But that, I don't know if I know the words to that anymore. But when I was thinking about, like, you know how some players have to do like initiation, that kind of thing. If I was going to do a song like for that, I would probably do Uncle Cracker.
Follow me.
So something like that, maybe.
Let's. What about you?
I just rediscovered it, but City High, which is like they're like R&B. Band, rap band, and they did a song called What Would You Do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can sing all the song, and I don't have to go too high, and I don't have to go too low, so it kind of keeps the voice range in check.
And Steph, if I ask you this one, if you could learn another language in one day, which language would you choose?
Probably like Spanish or something. I just feel like I love listening to that language.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk to so many different people.
You've kind of got everything. English and Spanish.
Okay, last couple. Caitlin, which Arsenal teammate makes you laugh the most?
Probably Bethany or Katie McCabe.
Fair. And Lydia, if I ask you which Arsenal player is most likely to cry at a movie or song?
At a movie or a song?
I know who.
Who?
Beats.
Yeah.
Interesting. I asked Leah that question and she said herself, actually.
All right,
one more question for all three of you then. If you could be a professional in another sport, which would it be? And I'll go with you first, Liz.
Tennis.
Are you any good at tennis?
No.
Steph?
Tennis.
Yeah?
Yep. Surfing.
Surfing, okay. Yeah, very Australian answer.
Actually, that's a great show.
You go to the best, you travel the best places.
Yeah. That's
it,
we've done that.
Yeah, good, cool. Well, Arsenal's Matildas, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.